This is lesson S2. The series we're on is God Wants You Well. And this is lesson 2 in the series, is healing always God's will.
Last week, you know, it was like, where does sickness come from? And how does sickness get in the earth? We covered that. Tonight is really an interesting topic. This is probably the key topic to understanding healing. You get this, you're more than halfway there. Let's put it that way. A lot of Christian people don't understand whether it's always God's will to heal, sometimes God's will to heal, or just how that works out. So tonight we're going to talk about this. It's good news tonight, folks, so let's just, you know, hang in there and we're going to learn some things. First of all, I want to ask you a question. And I'm trying to illustrate a little bit of the difference between hope and faith here, and we're just going to spend a second on this. If I said that I would give some of you $100 that are in this room tonight, how many of you could have hope for $100? How many? It's not a trick question. Yeah. If I said, I'm going to give some of you $100, how many could have hope that they'd receive $100? Yeah. You could hope for that, couldn't you? If I said that I'm going to give some of you $100, there's nothing wrong with hoping for that because some people are going to get $100. Not really, but you know. Now let's say, I rephrase, if I said that I would give some of you $100, how many of you would know for sure that you were getting $100? But, I mean, that you specifically, Bobby, would get $100. But see, you don't know who I'm going to give it to. I'm going to give some of you $100. How many of you could have faith that you would be one of the ones that got the $100? You could? How would you know, Jim? I mean, if I want to give some now, I'm only going to give some of this $100. Could you know for sure? Would you risk your life on it? You would? I think my example's backfiring on me. Well, Jim, I love you. You probably said that because you know that if anybody in here I'd give $100 to, it'd probably be you. Got out of that one, didn't I? All right, well, the point is here, really the answer to that question is nobody would really know for sure they were the ones because I'm saying I'm going to give some of you. So you really wouldn't know for sure. You'd only know for sure if I was a person of integrity you could really trust and I said I'm going to give all of you $100. Mm-hmm. That's true. Let's forget this example. Yeah, he gets an A. He knows more about it than I do now. Well, my point is, really, that faith begins where the will of the person that has a power over giving you something is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And that's the whole purpose. You know, all through the Bible it says, you know, in healing or anything else, it's faith that brings these things to us. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She came to Jesus, and for 12 years she had this flow of blood from her body, and she was nowhere healed at all. She was getting worse, and she spent all that she had. And she came to Jesus, and she said to herself, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She touched the hem of his garment, was instantly healed, and Jesus turned around and he says, power has gone out of me. And then he looked at the woman that got her healing and he said, woman, daughter, he says, thy faith has made you whole. Isn't that what he said? You remember that? Daughter, thy faith made you whole. See, so for healing, faith is a necessary thing, right? And another case we know about in James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? Well, if so, it says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of what? Faith shall save the sick. So again, faith. So the point is tonight, our question is, then how do I obtain the faith necessary for healing? Well, we must first answer this question. And I'll just listen to this for a second. We all know that God heals some. Is there anybody in here who wouldn't agree to the fact that God heals some people sometimes? We've all known people who have gotten healings from God. But how do we know it's God's will to heal all? Because if we don't know it's God's will to heal all, how can I be sure he's going to heal me? You understand the question? And if I can't be sure it's God's will to heal me, then it's going to be impossible for me to have faith for healing. Does that make sense to you? That's the whole nutshell of the problem that we're trying to solve tonight. Because if we don't know God's going to heal all, we can't be sure He'll heal me. But if I know that He will heal all, then I know He's not a respecter of persons and He will heal me. That is the thing that we got to get settled, folks, if we're going to get healing from God. We got to get off this middle ground where we think, well, you never know about God. It might be His will and it might not be. You know, a lot of the denominational world out there thinks this way, even Christians. But that's not the way it is. So that's the question that's plagued man for ages, and it's probably the single greatest barrier to healing faith. The goal of this lesson will be to show that God does desire to heal all. In this way, you can know beyond any doubt, then, that it's God's will to heal you. Okay, so where can we go to get the answer to this question? The Bible, right? First thing we're going to do is we're going to try to move from God can heal to God will heal me. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to talk about scriptural references that prove this. Okay, first of all, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to say, who did Jesus heal? Let's just find out from the Bible how Jesus felt about healing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Let's just look and see. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible has to say about it. And it says in verse 23 that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Okay, first of all, how many kinds of sickness did He heal? All kinds, didn't He? Verse 24, and His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and He healed them. Who did He heal? All sick people. That's the subject of the sentence, isn't it? All the sick that came got healed. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, so many times in the Bible, you know, we read this, something, I hope I'm interpreting this right, you know, I wonder if that's what it really means. Well, folks, this is simple. There's no question of what is meant here. It says that Jesus healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, all sick people came to Him, they had all these different ailments, and He healed them, which the subject of the sentence, then you look back to find out who the them is, and it's all the sick people that came. All right, now turn to Matthew 8. We're just sticking pretty close together here. You only have to turn a few pages. Verse 1. It says, when Jesus had just come down from the mountain, He was just giving the Sermon on the Mount, basically, it said, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, in another version of this same account, it says that he fell down before Him and prostrated himself before Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. In other words, if you really want to say it in everyday English, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I want to be clean. So then again, here's a leper comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, if you... See, this was his question. It's the same question that we're addressing tonight, really. Lord, I know you can heal some, and I know, but I'm not quite sure what your will is concerning this. And I know you can do it. And if you want to, you can. And Jesus said, I want to. Be thou clean. Okay? So go a little further and look at verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. Were there any He didn't heal? Were there any He didn't heal? How many did He heal? All that what? Were sick. He healed them all, didn't He? There wasn't any that came that Jesus said, well, hold on, there's one guy here that it's not my Father's will to heal. He healed everyone that came to Him. Okay? All right, now turn to Matthew 9, the next chapter. And look at verse 35. It says here in verse 35, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now, Jesus didn't just go to just a few. He didn't just go to a few where He felt that maybe they would be the ones that God would heal. He went to all cities. So it wasn't, you know, like there was a few places that God was willing to heal and a few He wasn't. It says He went to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There wasn't one He didn't heal. Every is all-inclusive, isn't it? I mean, in English, we understand what every means. If I said every one of you is going to get $100, I wouldn't leave anybody out, would it? Except Jim. All right, chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. So there was no sickness or disease he didn't give his disciples power over. Okay, now turn to chapter 12, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed them, and he healed them all. How many did he heal? All. He healed all that came to him. I think the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. Turn to chapter 14 and look at verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. How many of them in the multitude didn't he heal? None. It said he healed the sick, their sick, in the multitude. That means all got healed. Okay, now turn to verse 34 here. Look at that. The same chapter. And when they came, when gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto him all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might touch only the hem of his garment, and as many touched were made perfectly whole. Were any that touched that weren't made whole? No. Everyone that touched the hem of his garment was made whole. I think if I'd been sick in that group, and I'd seen what was going on, I'd made sure I got to that garment and touched that hem, wouldn't you? Because these people were seeing everyone that came and touched his hem of his garment got healed. It says so. Everyone. Okay? Now turn to Luke chapter 4. Now remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What we're doing here is we're hearing the word of God. We're not hearing my opinion about it. We're not hearing your opinion about it. We're hearing what God has to say about this. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Boy, that's all-inclusive, isn't it? Listen to all the alls and innies. When the sun was set, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. What's the subject of the sentence? Them. The them is the all that he's talking about here. He healed every one of them again. And now for one last reference, turn to Luke chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea. We're not talking about a few people here. We're talking about a great multitude. And the few places in the Bible where it talks about how many are in a great multitude, where it gives you a number, is several thousand. So there's several thousand people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many were healed? All of them that were vexed with unclean spirits. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all, every one of them. Now, aren't you glad we got the Bible? Because we could argue about this till the cows come home, you know? And we'd all have our own experiences. We'd all know people that they prayed, they believed, they didn't get healed. But yet the Bible says God's will was to heal all. At least Jesus was. He never turned anybody down. Everybody got healed that came to Jesus. Now, that's important because your faith comes from hearing what the Bible has to say about these things. Can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have the Bible? I mean, you know, the further I go on as a Christian, I appreciate the Bible because think about it. Everybody's got their own personal opinions, their own experiences, and if we didn't have something that we could all go to and say, this is truth, we'd be a mess, wouldn't we? And you know, and that's a lot of churches have that problem that don't really believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. They're always arguing, they're always having, everybody's got their opinion. You know, well, and they all sit around and say, well, you know, what do you think about this? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think if it doesn't go square with the Bible, right? And you know, I remember when we lived in California, in our church, they were having these bulletin. I still remember on the bulletin board, there was some guy going around giving these talks, and he'd written this book. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And basically what it meant was everything's okay. Hey, you believe Buddha's the way? That's okay. Hey, buddy, I love you. I believe it, you know, Islam's the way to go, but hey, you know, I love you. Everything's okay. Everything's cool. They're both going to hell. You know, it may be cool. You may think it's all right. I'm okay, you're okay, but there was no bottom line. That's why it's nice to have the Bible. All right. So far, we found out that Jesus, for some reason, wanted to heal everybody. Later on, we'll find out why he wanted to heal everybody. But not one person in all the gospel that ever came to Jesus was ever turned away. Never once did he say, it's not my Father's will to heal you or not my will to heal you. We need to know that because, you know, we go about our daily tasks every day and we're out in the world and everything. And if we don't get some of this stuff deep down inside settled, when you're attacked from the enemy in an area of healing, these are the things you need to know. You need to be able to eliminate God as the source of your problem. You need to be able to eliminate the fact that he might not want you healed from your problem. That's important. Now, there's other things then you got to deal with, and we'll talk about that in this lesson. But first of all, we need to find out that God's on our side. Well, now we know how Jesus felt about it, right? I mean, because what he did. Well, what if God doesn't feel that way? What if Jesus is just kind of a lone ranger out here? He just happens to love everybody and be a really nice guy, soft-hearted, and he's out healing everybody. What if God in heaven isn't too crazy about it? Because after all, you know, God's important in this too, right? God the Father. That's a good question. I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, well, we all know that God and Jesus are one, they're part of God, but you know, people have funny questions sometimes. Just answer that question. Let's find out how God felt about Jesus healing everybody. Turn to Psalm 107. Start there. You know, it's kind of fun to read the Bible sometimes and go back and realize that the Psalms were written 500, 600, 700 years before Jesus ever came to the earth. And so it's nice to be able to go back and see these prophets that wrote this stuff down and how it worked out. Now, if we wanted to, we could take the time and start at verse 15. It starts talking about the whole plan of salvation, really, and go down through verse 20. But we don't really have time. But in verse 20, it says this. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And if you look at the context of this thing, it was the people. They cried out unto the Lord in their trouble. This is a prophecy talking about salvation. They cry out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. How did you do it? How'd you do it, Father? Well, I sent my word and I healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, that healed word in the Hebrew is Rapha. You ever hear the word Rapha before? That's one of the seven redemptive names of God. Jehovah Rapha means I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's one of the names God's known by, because he was known as a healer even back then. So he sent his word and healed them. And the context everywhere in the Bible for this Hebrew word is physical healing. And delivered them from their destructions. Now, if you look up the Hebrew word for destructions, it's shekith. And it means he kept them from falling into a pit. Shekith means to fall into a pit. So really, if you think about it, right there in that verse is a prophecy of our twofold redemption. Redemption from sickness and redemption from sin. He redeemed us from, it says here, he healed them and delivered them from falling into the pit, which is hell, basically. So, well, how did he do this? He sent his word and healed them. Well, what does that mean? Turn to John chapter 1. We'll find out. I realize a lot of you know some of these things, but it's good to read this in the Bible because the faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over again. And boy, I'll tell you, when sickness hits you, it's good to build your faith in these areas before you need it. Because sometimes once something really serious hits, it's really tough with the pain and other things that might be going along with the sickness to build your faith and to find out those things at that time. This is a good time. When things are going good, it's a good time to get these things firmly established. So when you go to somewhere and somebody lays a big word on you about what's wrong with you, your immediate reaction is not, what am I going to do? It's, thank God Jesus took this infirmity and bore that sickness, or whatever scripture you want to lean on, but you better have some. Okay, Gospel according to St. John. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, that God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Well, what does that mean? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So God the Father, back in Psalm 107, was talking about His Son. And He prophesied way back then, I'm going to send my Son and heal them. Okay? And His Son is called the Word of God. Think about that. His Son is the Word of God. Jesus was God's message to us. Jesus was how God feels about us. Jesus was what God wanted us to know. He sent Jesus down here to tell us perfectly what He wanted us to know about Him. That's why God the Father calls His Son the Word, because it was His Word sent to men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, I love this. I mean, this first chapter of John, is the first 14 verses is just amazingly beautiful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ, the one that walked this earth, was there in the very beginning with God, as we know. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All right, so we see here in the first thing, Psalm 107, we saw that God sent His Word to heal. It said, and it just basically told us God had a plan to redeem mankind. Well, John 1 tells us that Jesus was the Word He sent. Jesus was the plan. Okay? So God had a plan. Now we've learned Jesus is the plan. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. And we'll see it's still His plan. And that's important because we don't live back then. We want to know if God still feels the same way today as He did back then about these things. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God, who at sundry times, that means various times, and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's how He used to speak, was through the prophets, didn't He, in the Old Testament. Has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Okay? Whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, nothing was created without Him. Everything that was made by Him. This tells us the same thing here. It says, though, in these last days, are we in the last days? Well, we're certainly in more of the last days than when Jesus walked the earth, aren't we? So in these last days, He's still speaking to us, God the Father is, through His Son. He is still the Word of God. All right? So, God had a plan, Jesus was the plan, and Jesus is the plan for healing. All right? Now turn to John 14, and it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Turn to John 14 now. This is another one of those places that you can just spend all day on. All the way from chapter 13, about verse 33, on through, 14, 12 or so. Is a wonderful area to meditate. 14:10 says this. Well, let's start at 9. At 8. Philip saith unto Jesus, Lord, because Jesus is talking about His Father, and you have to keep going up further to find out what He means, but He said that if you've seen Me, you've known My Father, He says in verse 7. If you had known Me, you should have known My Father. And Philip says to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'd be enough. Just show us the Father. And Jesus, now listen to what Jesus said to Philip. Jesus said unto Philip, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet have you not known Me? He that has seen Me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in Me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Now listen to what He said here. Verse 9. He that has seen Me has seen the Father. How, Jesus? Because the Father that dwelleth in Me. He's the one that's doing all these works that you're seeing. All this healing. That's My Father doing this stuff. That's not Me. I'm just doing what My Father sent Me to do. That's what Philip didn't understand, and he had to explain it to Philip. If you've seen Me, Jesus said, you've seen My Father. In other words, He was such a mirror of what His Father wanted to do that if you've seen what Jesus did, you've perfectly seen a beautiful image of His Father. It's important to know, isn't it? Because Jesus healed everybody, didn't He? And He's saying that what you've seen Me do is what My Father wanted Me to do. Okay? So it's important to know that. Jesus then was the will of God in action. Whatever we see Jesus do is God's will. We need to clearly understand that what Jesus did while on earth was a perfect reflection of God's will for us. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's why Jesus came down here, because of God the Father's love. And he said, I didn't send my son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That was God the Father's love, sending Jesus here. So everything that Jesus was doing, he wasn't the Lone Ranger. He wasn't going out doing something wild on his own. He was perfectly reflecting what our Heavenly Father wanted him to do. In fact, think about it. When Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he went up there and he was transfigured before John and James and Peter, his Father spoke, didn't he? Do you remember what his father said? He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's just another way of saying the same thing. Jesus was the will of God in action. And the father said, this is my beloved son, on whom I'm well pleased. Why do you suppose he was pleased with Jesus? Because he was doing exactly what the father sent him to do, right? I mean, how do your kids please you, you that have children? Let's say you send your kids off to the supermarket and you say, okay, I want you to go and I want you to get some Raisin Bran, some cereal. I want you to get the kind with the extra raisins, okay? That's what I like. I want the extra raisins, all right? And I want all these different things and I'm writing down. You know, when you get a grocery list, I mean, the person making the list usually has some preferences. They want this kind of cookie or that kind, you know, and they want double stuff on the Oreos. And I want this thin stuff. I've gotten addicted to the double stuff. I want that kind. And when he comes back, you know, what pleases the parent? If the child went out and got exactly what was on the list, right? I mean, it's simple. That's why our Heavenly Father was pleased with Jesus. You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then he said, hear ye him. So Jesus was doing exactly what God the Father wanted, and he went even so far as to say, listen to what he's saying, because this is what I want you people to hear. He was a perfect reflection of what God the Father wanted to tell. And if you were sharp, when we looked at some of those references, going back to the New Testament where Jesus healed all, you may have noticed that it said in there, he taught them, preached to them, and then healed. And we're going to get in this in another lesson, because Jesus always taught first before he healed. And that's exactly what we need to be healed, to walk in divine health or to get healed once we're sick, is first to listen to what the Word says, like we're doing tonight. Find out what God's Word says before you go up to be prayed with or something, because that will build your faith. Hear and be healed all through the Bible. And God, his Father, said, I am so pleased with Jesus, but hear you him. Listen to what he's saying, because it's important. This is how I feel about things. Well, it looks like God the Father feels the same way that Jesus feels about this whole thing. They both want everybody healed. All right, so it means if we're sick and we haven't had any manifestation of the healing, the problem's got to lie somewhere else. Because God wants us healed. We need to settle that. And we'll talk in the coming lessons about some of these other areas, find out maybe why the healing may be a little slow manifesting or something. Jesus never once indicated in any way that was never his will, not his will to heal. Never, ever. Wouldn't you think that if, on occasion, it wasn't God's will to heal everybody, just for instance, don't you think there'd be one place in the Bible where Jesus didn't heal that person? The only place I can think of where somebody didn't get healed was when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and he came down from the mountain, and he came down there, and his disciples had a terrible time trying to cast this devil out of this little kid. And his father comes up to Jesus and says, your disciples can't do anything with it. My son is sorely vexed. The devil throws him and tears him and does all these things with him. But they couldn't do anything. And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. You know, why don't you just believe what I've said? And he called the little child over and he cast the devil out of the child. So the only case that we can find where somebody didn't get healed right away, Jesus fixed it. He healed the kid. So even there. So sometimes if somebody's not getting, might tell us, if somebody's having a lingering problem, they're not getting healed, it isn't on God's end. I mean, these disciples that were praying for this child, he said, didn't have any. He said, because of their unbelief. They didn't really believe. I mean, what they got doing, I just know what happened there. They got to looking at this little child throwing himself all over the place and foaming at the mouth and screaming and yelling and all these things it talks about in there. And they were just a little bit God, you know, just like you and I might be if we hadn't had much experience with this stuff. And Jesus came down and said, oh, you're looking at the symptoms here. Just get it down in your heart that I gave you authority over. Because if you go back just a few chapters before that, Jesus said, I gave you authority over every devil, every disease. So here's one. That includes it. It's in every. And they couldn't do it because they got to looking at the thing. And Jesus said, oh, faithless people, come on here. I told you you had authority. And Jesus cast the devil out of that child. Now, Jesus was ministering on this earth not as God, the Son, but as a prophet. You know, so he gave up his heavenly powers to come here. He's showing us what he expects us to do when these things happen. Okay? And so he healed everybody. Everybody got healed. That was his will. All right? Well, somebody might say, okay, I'll give you this. Jesus healed everybody. God the Father, yep, it was a perfect reflection of God the Father's will. But that was back then. You know, that was back when miracles were happening. You know, these things happened a lot back then. Because Jesus was on the earth. What about now? You know, in modern parlance, they might say, well, that was then. This is now. What now? Well, let's just look. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 13 first. I'll just quote Acts 10 because we covered that last week. Remember last week we talked about Acts 10:38, and it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed by who? A devil. A lot there, isn't there? Tells us a lot about sickness. How God anointed his son, Jesus of Nazareth, with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing a good thing. What was the good thing he did? Healing. How many did he heal? All. Well, what was wrong with them? They were oppressed of the devil. Tells you a lot there. Okay, that's what Jesus did. It says in Acts. Peter is summing up Jesus' ministry to Cornelius' household. And he chose this to say to them. Okay? So, Hebrews chapter 13. Well, Jesus did that then, and he was willing to do that then. He healed everyone. Well, verse 8 of Hebrews 13 says this. Jesus Christ, the same. That's something we need to really get down in our heart. Jesus Christ, the same. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never change. He's still the healing Jesus. He still wants everybody healed. He's the same loving, compassionate Jesus that healed all those people. All right? He's the same today. It says so right here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, well, that's in the New Covenant. Forever is included in the New Covenant, isn't it? That's what we're living in right now. Well, under the Old Covenant, which Jesus ministered, right? That was the Old Covenant. The New Covenant didn't come in until Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead and presented His blood before to His Heavenly Father in heaven. All right? And so that New Covenant began after Jesus died. So all the things that Jesus ministered while He was on earth was in the Old Covenant, even though it's in the New Testament. We all understand that, right? All right. Well, we live under a New Covenant. Well, turn back from Hebrews chapter 13 to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at verse 6. Talking about Jesus now. If you look up above, you'll see it talking about Jesus. And it says, but now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So the new covenant is, according to the word of God here, a better covenant, and it has better promises. So, could the new covenant be better if it didn't include some of the benefits of the old covenant? Healing is a pretty major benefit, isn't it? Now, you know, I got to thinking about this when I was writing this, and we have recently, as it says here on the outline, changed our insurance companies because we weren't satisfied with the coverage and the benefits that our other insurance carrier gave us. We had to pay a little more, but we've got a lot more coverage now, all right? And see, that's why the new covenant's better. Jesus had to pay a little more, but it's a better covenant. because he paid for it with his blood and with the stripes that he took on his back. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. And through his shed blood, our sins were remitted, right? So it couldn't be, if the new covenant wouldn't be a better covenant established on better promises if it didn't include some of the major benefits that the old covenant included. Does that make sense? Okay. We got a little more time. Let's move on here to the next page, or my outline anyway. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 5. Well, let's look at the new covenant, some things that might have happened in the new covenant. Acts chapter 5. Acts is under the new covenant. All the things that happen in Acts are new covenant. Wouldn't you agree? Because this is after Jesus has gone back to heaven, he's been raised from the dead, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Acts chapter 5, verse 16 says, oh, let's go back up a little bit, as we always do. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. So this is the new covenant, and it's still going on. And we're still in that new covenant, and it is still going on. God wants to heal everyone. Turn to Acts 28. One more example, and then we'll go on to something else. Acts 28, verse 8. Now this is when Paul was on this little island of Melita, and the head guy was named Publius. And they were staying there for a little while. And it came to pass in verse 8 that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. That doesn't sound too good, does it? To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So God's still healing. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. If you look at the word for other in the Greek, every other translation besides the King James says the rest. In other words, that's even more inclusive than others. So everyone still that came to him were healed. This is still going on in Acts. It's still God's will to heal all. You might say, well, boy, you're sure, you know, covering a lot of different... Yes, I am. Because we need to get this firmly established, that there's no single case in the Bible where Jesus wasn't his will to heal all. It wasn't God the Father's will to heal all. I'll just quote this one. Jesus said before he went back, he said, it's expedient that I go away. That means profitable. I mean, it's to your benefit that I'm going away. It wouldn't have been profitable if healing that Jesus done was going to be done away with. There would have been negative benefit. But he said it would be profitable to go away because he said, greater works than these that I did will be done when I go away. And why? How can that be? Well, we have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was operating under. Jesus was only one person. We're millions of people. All right? So, it's still God's will to heal. It wouldn't be profitable for him to go away and leave us all sick and with no means to get healed. That wouldn't be profitable for us. And finally, let's look at James chapter 5. This, to me, is a very convincing verse. James chapter 5. Verse 14. You know, let's go up to verse 13. You know, it really tells us how to handle a lot of different things here. It says, is it any among you afflicted? Now, we're not talking about sickness here. We're talking about other things. Trials, temptations, tests. Let him pray. Is any merry? You merry? You having a, you know, everything's going good? Well, sing psalms. Get alone with the Lord and sing to him and praise him and tell him how much you appreciate everything that's going in your life right now. Even do it when things aren't going good. Now, verse 14, is any sick among you? That's an interesting question, isn't it, that the Word of God is answering here, asking here. Is any sick? Now, it doesn't say here, is Bobby sick and is Russell sick? It says, is any sick? All right, so it's talking about any Christian. This book, James, was written to believers. You go back in the beginning, in the first paragraph, it'll tell you that. So he's asking believers, is any of you believers sick? If so, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So right away we see here, is any sick? Any doesn't leave any Christian out of being God's will for healing, does it? It doesn't say, well, if some of you are sick, it says, is anybody, any Christian, if any Christian is sick, let him come and get prayed for, and if that prayer is in faith, he'll be healed. So it couldn't be God's will not to heal all, could it? Because if it wasn't, he'd had to qualify the any there. He couldn't have said, let any come. He'd had to say, well, let the chosen ones come, or let some of you come, or if some are sick, let them give this a try, or something like this, before they give up. But he said, no, is any of you sick? Any. So the only thing it leaves up to the question is our faith right there. But as far as God's will goes, he's willing to heal you. He wants to heal you. All right? Because any doesn't leave anybody out. The only requirement is faith. Now here's an interesting question. If it's by faith, think about this, folks. If God requires faith, and it says right here that this person will be, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, how in the world could we ever have faith if we didn't know absolutely sure it was always God's will to heal? Wouldn't that be crazy if God to ask us to have faith for something and say, but I'm not going to tell you if it's my will or not. Well, we can't have faith, Father. Well, tough. You got to have it. I'm asking for it. But, Father, give us a hint. Would you like us healed? You know, it would really help my faith before I pray. I mean, faith means to pray. Faith doesn't mean hope. It doesn't mean, hey, I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping and praying here. I mean, hope's okay, but that's not going to get the job done. It's faith that's going to get it done. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something you don't yet see. Faith is something you have before you actually see it in the natural. And you've got to know it's done. Faith leaves no room for doubt. And he's saying here, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer that has no doubt, that is absolutely sure that when you pray this prayer, you're going to be healed. That guy, I'll raise him up. But I'm not going to tell you if it's my will or not to heal him. I mean, you know, sometimes you've got to ask the reverse question. How could we ever pray in faith if we didn't know what his will was? Faith starts where the will of God is known. And that's why he gave us this Bible. That's why, that back in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't mean that he's honked off at you, but I mean he's pleased by faith. And why is he pleased by faith? Because he gave us a book, and there's no excuse for us not having faith for those things, which is clearly set out in his word as his will. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He tells us all through here, it's my will to heal you. There was never one person that came that it wasn't my will to heal. In fact, we'll find out next week that he put healing in the atonement. Okay? That's why he put it in there. To show us, again, that it was his will to heal. But boy, if it wasn't his will to heal, or we didn't know for sure, then God would be unjust to ask us to pray in faith, wouldn't he? He's hitting a different angle here. But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, wouldn't that be crazy of God? It's sort of like the question I asked at the beginning. You know, I'm willing to give some of you $100, but I'm not going to tell you which ones. But I want you to have absolute faith and know in your heart, beyond any shadow of a doubt, it's going to be you. You couldn't do it. Healing is in the atonement. Did you ever hear this expression? Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. What Jesus bore, folks, we don't need to bear again. I mean, he took our sin, too. We don't need to bear the punishment for sin anymore, do we? We're going to heaven. He took it all upon himself. And we understand that. We've heard that preached. We've heard that. We got saved when we heard that. But you know, folks, in the same atonement that gave us remission of sins also gave us healing for our bodies. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Okay? So two or three witnesses. First we heard himself took our infirmities, Matthew 8:17, and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Now let's take a third witness. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made to be a curse for us. Cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he do this? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was in that curse, folks? Go back to Deuteronomy 28 and find out the curses you were redeemed from. It tells you all these sicknesses that we've been redeemed from. And it goes through one after another. You know, folks, if I had some disease or something the doctor said was incurable or something, I'd go back and look that up and find out if that wasn't covered, wouldn't you? If we believe this means anything at all, that would mean more to me than the doctor's word. But you know, a lot of times the doctor's word means more to us than this word does. And that's why we need to get our faith built up. So if Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, you know, as the young people say, duh, go back and find out what was in the curse. If I'm redeemed from something, I want to know what it is, right? So I go back and I dig through there and I find all these diseases listed. Tuberculosis, and it goes down through them. Calls it consumption. Sometimes the old term isn't the same. But if you go look up the Hebrew word, it'll give you lots of alternative modern words for these diseases. I went and looked them all up. And then I got down to verse 61. And I really rejoiced because it says, and every sickness and every disease, even those not written above, are included. So, I love that, don't you? Because the devil would just love to point out to me when the doctor's diagnosed me with some serious illness, you know, and I go down through there and I haven't found specifically mine, I can get to verse 61, thank God he put it in there, and say that it included every sickness and every disease, even those not written before. Isn't that wonderful, folks? When that dawns in your heart, you're not going to put up with sickness anymore. You know, not play with it like a little puppy. I mean, treat it like you know where it comes from. Satan, we found out last week, he's the author of sickness. But he hides behind all this stuff, and he's got half the world convinced that God's the one putting sickness on people. And it's not God at all. We found out tonight God wants us healed. Now, we're going to find out in some future lessons we have a part to play in this. And we'll cover it specifically and find out what is our part. What are some hindrances that I can look out for? Things that I can do that can prevent this thing from invading my body. But first tonight, let's get settled. God wants us healed, okay? Can we all agree to that? God wants you healed. Jesus wants you healed. You want you healed. There's only one person that doesn't want us healed, and that's Satan. But thank God we have all authority over the power of the enemy. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. In Mark 16:17, he says, in my name you can cast out devils. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He gave us all these things that we said we could do with the devil when he sends sickness symptoms on him. We ought to treat sickness symptoms the same way we would treat if Satan walked through our door and we looked him right in the eye. What would we say? Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Because this sickness comes from the same place that he comes from, is the pit. God doesn't want you to have it. Jesus doesn't want you to have it. You don't want you to have it. So treat it like it deserves. Get rid of it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for this lesson that shows us, Father, that your will is to heal, that Jesus' will is to heal, and our will is to stay healed, Father. Thank you, Father, for showing us that at least you're not our problem, that you desire us healed. Father, in weeks to come, I just ask you in Jesus' name to quicken your word to us, and this week as we go about our daily lives, I just ask you to quicken this word to the people, Father God, so that when things come up and somebody says, well, you know, I've got this or I've got that and I don't know what to do about this, just rise up inside of them, Father, and say, no, God wants you healed and I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Amen.
Let's go over the homework for this lesson. This is lesson S2. The series we're on is God Wants You Well, and this is lesson 2 in the series, is healing always God's will. First question. If I said that I would give some of those who hear these teachings $100, would you be able to have faith that you would be one of those who would receive the $100? Yes or no? Well, the answer to this question, of course, is no. If I was only going to give you some of those who hear these teachings $100, you would not be able to believe with faith that you would be one of those who would receive. I think that's obvious. Now, if I said that I would give all of those who hear these teachings $100, would you then be able to believe you have faith that you'd be one of those who would receive the $100? Yes, of course you would. And that's the way the Word of God says. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All of them. So when you find a promise of God, that's why faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You know it's for you, and God will back it up. Next question. Faith to receive something from someone comes when the will of the person to give it is known. True or false? Well, that's true. The only way you can have faith to receive something from someone is when you know what the will of that person to give it is. And that's really why we're having this lesson on, is healing always God's will? Once we get done with this lesson and the homework, you're going to know that healing is always God's will. He provided for it, even in the atonement. So we have to know God's will in this, and that's the reason for this lesson. Next question. Faith is usually a necessary ingredient to be healed by God. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. Faith is usually necessary to receive anything from God, including healing. Now, reason I say usually is because there is one area of healing, and there's many ways you can be healed. As a matter of fact, I have lessons on this website that give all these methods. And one of them is healing through the gifts of healing, a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's a little different than the other ones that require faith. Once in a while, God will heal when no faith is evident on the person requiring the healing. An example of this would be when Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and the man couldn't get in the water when the angel moved the water, and Jesus just healed the man. The man had no evident sign of faith or anything else. And this just shows that God once in a while will do things just because he wants to do them. Now, don't rely on this method, because it says in the Bible, it's as the Spirit wills. He always wills to heal. God always wishes to heal, but not always by this method. And so faith is then usually a necessary ingredient to be healed by God. But in this one case of gifts of healing, it's not required. Now, let me just say one more word and then we'll go on. This gifts of healing is usually only manifested to those who've never heard about healing being in the atonement, are either not Christians or baby Christians. Once you have heard the word of God on healing, like most of you out there are, then God expects you to act on your own faith. And so this method won't work for you usually. So if you want to know more about this, you can listen to some of our other healing tapes, or go and listen to the teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, next question. What is faith? Well, thank God we have a definition given to us in the Bible. In the King James Version, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen or not yet seen. In other words, faith is something that you have inside your heart that tells you that you have the thing for which you've prayed or are believing for, that it's all taken care of, that you go into a complete rest about that situation. How can you do this? By knowing what God's Word says about your situation, and then doing what God's Word has to do, and then resting in that. The NIV version is a little different. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, which is basically the same thing. Sure and certain, not hoping. It's a lot different than hope. Sure of what we hope for. See, hope is just hoping we get something. I mean, we may get it, we may not. We're not sure. We just sure hope we do, though. That's not faith. Faith is when we're sure and certain. Here's the next question. Would it be possible to be sure or certain about our healing without knowing God's will on healing? Yes or no? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is no. And it ties in with the very first question we ask in this homework. It would not be possible to be sure or certain about our healing without knowing God's will on healing. And then that's the reason for this lesson. So the answer to that question is no. It would not be possible. If I don't have faith for healing, what is the way to receive this faith? And then I give you a hint, Romans 10:17. Well, what does Romans 10:17 say? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't have faith for healing, the way to receive that faith is to read, hear, study, and meditate what the Word of God has to say about healing. In other words, faith cometh through this hearing that about what God's will is about healing. You need to get that established. What does the Word say about healing? What does the Word say about God's will on healing? What does the Word have to say about healing being in the atonement? All these things need to be firmly lodged in our heart for the faith for healing to be present. And so if we don't have faith for healing, the way to receive this faith is to read, hear, study, or meditate what the Word of God has to say about healing. And that's basically what we're doing in these lessons on healing. Give three examples, not in the outline, where faith was a necessary ingredient for healing. And then I have here, hint, use your concordance for the word faith, or you could use healing also, or heal in the New Testament. In other words, your concordance will give you those passages if you don't know them, if you can't think of any out of your head right now. And so, anyway, I gave you this hint. Now, I used my concordance on faith, and I came up with several. Three examples, not in the outline. We had some in the outline, but not in the outline, where faith was a necessary ingredient for healing. Well, I have Matthew 8:10. The centurion, how about the centurion who had great faith? Jesus called him great faith. There's an example of a person who had faith. In this case, the man had faith for his servant's healing. Now, normally, let me just pause here a second because there's a point here I'd like to make. Normally, we need to have our own faith for our own healing. In other words, all through the Bible, the Lord said things like, thy faith is made thee whole. According to thy faith be it unto you. Thy, your. But once in a while, we can have faith for someone else if they are so indisposed that they cannot exert faith for themselves. Or number two, we have authority over that person, such as our children. You know, they're young. They don't know these things. We can exert our faith for them. And sometimes for baby Christians who haven't not had a chance or an opportunity to hear the Word. But when we have an opportunity to hear the Word, and we've been a Christian for a long time, or more than a certain amount of time, that's up to the Lord, and then we're expected to exercise our own faith. But once in a while, we can exercise our faith for someone else if we have authority over that person, or if they're our children or something like that. Now, having said that, that's the reason the centurion can have faith for his servant. His servant was totally unable to have faith for himself because of the degree of sickness he had, and the centurion had authority over that man. Here's another example, Matthew 9:2. How about the man on the bed they carried and tore up the roof and lowered him down before Jesus to be healed? And Jesus, seeing their faith, said he first forgave the man his sins and then he healed the man. So their faith was manifested through their action. You could see there, Jesus said, I see your faith. Jesus seeing their faith. How did he see their faith? Well, here they go. The four guys are carrying this guy. They can't get in. They don't give up. They don't go home and say, well, there's too many people there. We can't get in. They go up on the roof. They tear the roof up. They lower the guy down. That's faith. They were acting on their faith. And so Jesus healed the man. In Matthew 9:22, Jesus said to the woman who had the issue of blood, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. There was a necessary ingredient for her healing. Her faith is what did it. There was the case of the demon-possessed daughter, if you recall. I think Matthew 15:28 actually was the woman that had the demon-possessed daughter. The woman with the demon-possessed daughter was trying to convince Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus said, O woman, he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as you will. In other words, she wouldn't give up. Jesus tried to say, well, this the healing, he was trying to draw her out, get her to say, make a faith statement. And she wouldn't give up. She said, well, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the tables. And he said, O woman, great is thy faith. And then because of her faith, he said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. This is all just in Matthew so far. We could go on and on. I'm thinking Luke 17:19, I think it was, where he said to the 10 lepers, when the one leper came back, thy faith has made thee whole. Their faith did it. Not Jesus' faith, their faith. Luke 18:42, the blind man. Thy faith has saved thee, Jesus said when he healed the blind man. Thy faith, the blind man's faith. See, a lot of people get the idea that Jesus had this faith, and that's why the people were healed. No, it was their faith that did it. Their faith was necessary. Sure, Jesus had faith, but without their faith, in many cases, he could have done nothing. And, you know, I can think of one more in Acts, just off the top of my head here. Remember when Peter and John were going into the temple and the man was begging alms and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And he was healed in the name of Jesus. Then later, when they were being questioned by the Pharisees, Peter said, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. In this case, because the man wasn't a Christian and didn't have any access to faith, really. Peter and John healed this man, and it was through their faith in the name of Jesus that the man was healed. So there's many examples of why faith was necessary for people to be healed. Next question, true or false? Jesus occasionally turned people down that came to him for healing. True or false? Well, that's false. We don't have one single instance in the Word of God where Jesus turned anybody down and said, it's not my Father's will to heal you. As a matter of fact, we had multitudes come to Jesus and he healed them all. It was always his will. When they came to Jesus, he healed them. See, just it takes a certain amount of faith to travel and go to see Jesus, to have that faith to be healed. I mean, when you travel several miles and go there, that's acting on your faith. So Jesus never turned anybody down who came to him for healing. So that's false. Jesus has the same opinion about healing today as he did back when he walked the earth. True or false? How do we know how Jesus feels about healing today? Well, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how Jesus felt about healing back then is how he feels about healing now. He wants you healed. So the answer to this question is true. Next question. God the Father has the same opinion too. In other words, God the Father, does God the Father have the same opinion about healing that Jesus did? Yes, he does. True. Well, how do we know this? Well, first of all, we know that Jesus was the will of God in action. That's why he was called the Word of God. And all through the New Testament, Jesus would say things like, the works that I do are not my works, they're the Father's works that you see me do, and things like that. In addition, we have Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. That's what God the Father said. So he doesn't change either. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is his Father. I am the Lord, I change not. And so, that's true. To obtain healing faith, we must move from God can heal to God will heal me. True or false? That's true. To obtain healing faith, we must move. You must move from God can heal to God will heal me, or even God has healed me, in the sense of knowing that that healing was provided in the atonement, where it says in 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. We'll get into this in a later lesson in this series. Or Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So to obtain healing faith, we must move from God can heal to God will or has healed me. And you know what, folks? 90% of the people needing healing are stuck right here. They believe God can heal, but they're not absolutely sure that God wants to or will heal me. And that's the purpose of this lesson, to get us off that top dead center position into the position where we know God will heal me, or God has provided the healing for me. Next question, true or false? The reason Jesus healed so many was because he had great faith. Is that true or false? That's false. That's not the reason Jesus healed so many. All through the Bible, as we've seen, he said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. According to your faith be it done unto you. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto you, even as you will." Through their faith in his name, through their faith they were made whole. Jesus seeing their faith. See, it was always the other person's faith, not Jesus' faith. Of course, Jesus had faith, but that wasn't the reason they were healed. If they didn't have faith, in many cases, Jesus couldn't have healed them. In fact, in Mark chapter, let me look in my Bible. Mark comes to mind. Mark chapter 6, I believe it is, verse 5. Let's just check that. Mark 6, verse 5. Talking about when Jesus was in his own hometown. It said, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages teaching." There's a lot in this little verse. Let's just look at it for a second. In his hometown, I think it's Capernaum we're talking about here. That was where he was staying most of the time. They were having trouble believing Jesus because they kept looking at him and seeing the carpenter boy that they knew could have been Nazareth as well. He lived in both places at different times. But anyway, they kept looking and seeing the carpenter instead of the Son of God. And Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." Verse 4. And because of this, he could there do no mighty work. He wanted to, but why couldn't he? Because of their unbelief. See, it was their faith that was important. Jesus had faith, but it was their faith that prevented them from him from doing any mighty works. Only a few sick folk with minor ailments, if you look up the original Greek, a few people with minor ailments were healed. In other words, anything that took a little more faith than a minor ailment didn't get done because of their unbelief, not Jesus' unbelief. So there's another proof of this statement. And they had unbelief because they couldn't see Jesus for who he really was. They kept seeing him as this carpenter boy that grew up in the area and knowing what his background was. So that's answer is false. Jesus ministered under the old covenant and healed all. And we live under the new covenant, which has even better promises. Is that true or false? That's true. Jesus ministered under the old covenant. The new covenant didn't come into being until Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins and was raised up again. That's when the new covenant was ushered in. And we live under that new covenant. But Jesus ministered under the old covenant as a prophet. And he healed all. And Hebrews 8:6 says that we have a better covenant established on even better promises. So the answer to this question is true, and it also leads you to the conclusion that if we live in a better covenant under better promises, and Jesus healed all back then, he certainly has the same will to heal all now, or it wouldn't be better, would it? So the answer to that question is true. Therefore, we can expect to be healed when we need it too. And that's true. We can expect to be healed when we need it because of the provision of healing in the atonement, which we'll talk about more in future lessons, and the fact that we have God's will listed and itemized in the Bible as per the lesson that we're studying right now. Therefore, we can expect to be healed when we need it too, and you can expect that and be scriptural, and that's true. What did Jesus say when the leper asked, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean"? Blank. How do you fill the blank in? Here's the way I filled it in. Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." Now, if you go back and look at the original Greek, you can read it this way, because it's even a closer rendering of what the leper said. The leper said, "Lord, if you want to, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus says, "I want to, be thou clean." So, there we have it. So that's what Jesus said, "I want to, be thou clean." That goes a long way to establishing Jesus' will for healing there, doesn't it? "I want to, be thou clean." He's even provided for it in the atonement. so that we can be healed. So really, we need to get these things down in our spirits and see that if we're having a problem getting healed, the problem is not on God's part. He wants us healed. He wants us well. What we've got to do is get these promises down in our spirits so we can act on them. Next question. Name three things we can learn from James 5:14 and 15. Let me turn there and read this, and then we'll talk about the three things, at least three things that we can learn from there. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. I'll read it. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Here's the three things I wrote down. Number one, God wants to heal all. How do I know that from this verse? He said, is any sick among you? He didn't distinguish among any person. He said, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let they pray over him. He didn't say, if some of you are sick, or if it's God's will for some of you to be healed, let him call for the elders of the church. He said, is any sick? So from this, we can determine that God wants to heal all, because he said any. Number two, we can determine from this that faith is required. Remember, he said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, when people are really sick, so sick, that they need to call for elders to come and pray with them. In other words, they're incapable of really handling the situation themselves, or maybe they're a baby Christian and don't know some of these things that we're talking about today. Then the faith of the elders can enter in here and help. But in any case, faith is required. Remember, it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the third thing I have down here is anointing with oil is one way to be healed. That's one of the several methods that we can use to be healed in the Bible. There's many, the name of Jesus, just ourselves praying in faith, the prayer of faith for ourselves, the gifts of healing, the prayer of agreement. All of these are ways that we can pray. This happens to be calling for the elders of the church. This is just one method. Another thing we can learn from this is anointing with oil is one way to be healed. Now, before I go on to the next question, let me just say, oil has no magical properties in it, okay, itself. There's nothing in the oil that makes this healing happen. It's the name of Jesus and the faith of the ones praying. Oil is just a point of contact. It's just something that helps the person that's being prayed for. You anoint them with oil, and that instant they believe that something is different. This is the point at which I'm going to believe that I'm healed. It's a point of contact. So the oil doesn't have any particular power, of course. It's just a point of contact. Next question. Anointing with oil is the only way God heals today. True or false? Well, that's false. There's many methods that we can use to receive our healing. Anointing with oil is just one of them. Since healing requires faith on the part of the one needing healing, and God's desire is to heal all, it must therefore be possible for all to obtain the required healing faith. Now, that's kind of a long statement, but if you go over and analyze it, the answer to that question is true. It's a logical statement. Since healing requires faith on the part of the one needing healing, okay, and God's desire is to heal all, therefore it must be possible for us all to obtain the required healing faith. And that's true. How would we obtain this faith? Well, if we go back to, I think it was question number 5, if we don't have faith for healing, what's the way to receive the faith? The Word of God. What does the Word say about healing? And get that established in our hearts. So it is possible for all to have healing faith. Next question. God wouldn't go to all the trouble of laying our sickness and diseases upon Jesus if it wasn't his will that we all be healed. Is that true or false? Well, that's true, of course. Why would God lay our sickness and diseases on Jesus? In other words, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. First scripture was 1 Peter 2:24, the second scripture was Matthew 8:17. Why would these two scriptures be in the Bible unless it was God's desire that all be healed? Why would he put these upon Jesus if it wasn't his will that all be healed? Just like it's his desire that all be saved. It all came in the same package. So the answer to this question is true. Based upon these first two lessons on healing, we may conclude that God wants you healed, Jesus wants you healed, you want you healed, and Satan can't stop it unless we let him. True or false? That's true. That, in a nutshell, is what we learned in these first two lessons. Remember, our last lesson was where does sickness come from? That was lesson one in this series. So based upon these first two lessons on healing, we may conclude that God wants you healed, Jesus wants you healed, you certainly want you healed, and Satan can't stop it unless we let him. And that's the end of the homework for this lesson.